This is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Believers in Jesus Christ are to be unified in knowledge. That knowledge is designed to produce a consistent, Christ-honoring way of thinking and acting among all believers. What is that knowledge? How do you get it? How are individual Christians and the church as a body to use it? Those questions are our focus today, as we conclude our study of the four pillars of Christian unity from Colossians chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we know that in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus prayed that His people would be one. But we know that Your Word teaches us that this unity must be on Your terms, not on sinful man's terms. Father, I pray that You would open this truth to each one who is listening today, and that Your Holy Spirit will apply it for Your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to focus our attention today, for the last time in this series, on the Apostle Paul's great statement about Christian unity that we find in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. As we've noted many times, the Bible is always up to date. Paul wrote these words to the Colossian church in the first century, but they apply just as much to us as believers in the 21st century. Paul says this, "I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now, as we've seen in our last several messages, we find four pillars of Christian unity in these verses. And presently, we're focusing on the last of them, but by way of review, let me state all four of them for you once again. First, there is the pillar of facts. Christianity is a matter of the heart, but it is not a matter of mere feelings. Our feelings are indeed involved. Our emotions are involved, but the place of feelings and emotions in the Christian life must be that of a response. Feelings and emotions must not be the driving force. And the reason for that is that our emotions fluctuate. Our emotions can at times mislead us, but God's Word will never mislead us. Secondly, there is the pillar of love, agape love, self-sacrificial love. By the power of God's Spirit, we are to cultivate love for Jesus Christ. And we're to cultivate love for the body of Christ, because every believer is precious in Jesus' sight. And therefore, every believer must be precious in our sight. So we have, firstly, the pillar of facts, and secondly, the pillar of love. And thirdly, there is the pillar of understanding. This is the third thing that unites Christians. The word for understanding in the Greek literally means to bring together in the mind. You as a Christian are to use your intelligence, guided by the Holy Spirit, to bring together the various things that you learn as you read and study God's Word and hear it preached, and you're to apply that combined knowledge of Scripture to the specific situations and problems that you confront. And the same, of course, is to be true for the church as a body and for the leadership of the church. So we have the pillar of facts, the pillar of love, and the pillar of understanding. And fourth and lastly, there is the pillar of knowledge. Knowledge that is to produce like-mindedness in the body of Christ. Knowledge that is to produce a consistent, Christ-honoring way of thinking and acting among all believers. Last time we began to look at the fact that there are seven key characteristics of this knowledge. And last time we considered the first three. First, we saw that the knowledge that unites believers in Christ is knowledge of a mystery. In chapter 1, verse 26, Paul calls it the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Second, we saw that the knowledge that unites believers in Christ is hidden or stored up knowledge. In God, in both God the Father and in Jesus Christ the Son, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is knowledge that is far superior to anything that the world can offer. It is an entirely different kind of knowledge, an entirely different category of knowledge. This world's knowledge is passing away, but the wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in God are eternal wisdom and eternal knowledge. This is knowledge that no man can have apart from faith in Jesus Christ. This is the knowledge that you need in order to understand the world as it really is, and to understand God as He really is, and to live in this sinful world as it is, for Christ's honor and glory. And thirdly, we saw that the knowledge that unites believers in Christ is precious knowledge. In Him, Paul says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. These are treasures that the church is so often neglecting today. Among most evangelical Christians today, the Bible is the greatest story never read. And in most evangelical pulpits today, the Bible is the greatest story never preached. The church is going after this world's riches and neglecting true wealth. Like the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, today's church says, I am rich, I have need of nothing, when in fact Christ says that it is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Today's church is neglecting God's treasury, neglecting the precious wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in Jesus Christ. This knowledge is in an entirely different realm from human wisdom and knowledge, and last time we saw two of the necessary and absolutely inevitable implications of all of this. First of all, this kind of knowledge is something completely opposite of the world's false intellectualism. The church should never be intimidated by the world's ways, the world's methods, the world's apparent success. Those things are the devil's deceptions, and they have no place in the church. And we also saw that one of the necessary implications of the knowledge that is to unite true believers in Christ is the fact that the church must never be yoked together with unbelievers, not in social or political causes, much less in spiritual things. And we saw that the tragic thing is that today, much of the time, the church is putting itself in an unequal yoke with the world. And so the church is constantly being pulled in the direction of the world, instead of taking Christ's yoke upon it and walking with Christ, learning of Him, walking in knowledge, and doing what Christ commands. Joining with the world in all kinds of causes, all kinds of things that the world can do without the church. And therefore the church is neglecting the only two things that Christ told His church to do, because only His church can do them. And those two things are embodied in His Great Commission, to preach the gospel and to build up the saints in sound doctrine for holy living. Well, all of this now brings us to the final four characteristics of the knowledge that is to unite true believers in Christ. Let me name them for you, and then we'll come back and consider each one. Number four is this. The knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is full or comprehensive knowledge. Number five, the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is accurate or precise knowledge. Number six, it is complete knowledge. And finally, number seven, the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is consistent knowledge. So now let's take up characteristic number four. The knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is full or comprehensive knowledge. And let me take you to another passage that also emphasizes this point specifically. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. The apostle says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. All things that pertain to life and godliness, full knowledge, comprehensive knowledge, everything that you need to know in order to know God, to know Christ, to have eternal life, and to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Peter gives us a great chain of the Christian virtues in this passage. Here are the things that result from having the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ. Self-control, mastering your desires and passions, and bringing them into submission to Christ. Perseverance, steadfast endurance, unwavering loyalty to Christ and reliance upon Christ, even in the midst of trials. Godliness, thinking and behavior that is well-pleasing to God. 1 Timothy 2:2 says that we are to lead a life of all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 6:3 says that we are to adhere to the doctrine that is in accord with godliness. And then brotherly kindness, love for your fellow believers in Christ as brothers and sisters in the faith. And finally, Peter lists love, agape love, self-sacrificial love. And here we come full circle to Colossians chapter 2. Agape love and the knowledge of Christ are intimately connected. So this is characteristic number 4 of the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ. It is full or comprehensive knowledge. All things that pertain to life and godliness, by which we've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature. The fifth characteristic of the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is that it is accurate or precise knowledge. And this recapitulates some of the things that we saw as we looked at the early verses of Colossians chapter 1. There Paul teaches us that it is believing the gospel of Christ that makes the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's will possible. Knowledge of God's will is impossible for the unsaved man. Spiritually speaking, the unsaved man doesn't have a clue about the knowledge of God. It is only as God the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart of the believer, the one who has trusted Christ for salvation from sin, it is only then that the spiritual lights come on, and the individual can truly understand God and His Word. Believing the gospel of Christ is what makes knowledge of God possible. And Paul also teaches us that accurate or precise or correct knowledge of God's will is possible. Not some nebulous knowledge, but precise and correct knowledge. We saw that this is the meaning of the word that is translated knowledge in our English Bibles in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. The common Greek word for knowledge was gnosis. It's the root word from which we get English words like diagnosis, analytical knowledge, and prognosis, foreknowledge. Now, normally in Greek, if you wanted to talk about knowledge, you simply used the word gnosis. But Paul doesn't use that word in chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "My prayer is not that you will simply have knowledge, gnosis. My desire is that you will have epinosis, full knowledge, complete knowledge, accurate knowledge." And Paul uses the same word in a number of other places. In Romans 3:20, he says that by the law is the knowledge, the epinosis of sin. The law gives us the full understanding of the sinfulness of sin. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, he says that the unsaved Jews have a zeal for God, but it is not a zeal that is according to knowledge, epinosis, a full and accurate knowledge of God. The unsaved Jews don't have that, Paul says. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, says that Christians escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, the epinosis, the full and complete and accurate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is accurate or precise knowledge. That is the fifth characteristic of that knowledge. And number 6, The knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is complete knowledge. Now, this is a different thing from saying that it is comprehensive knowledge. By comprehensive, we meant that it is knowledge that covers all necessary areas, all necessary categories of subject matter. But when we say that the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is complete knowledge, what we mean is this: it is all the knowledge you need. It is all the knowledge you need to be saved from eternal damnation. It is all the knowledge you need to live life in this present world to the glory of God. And it is all the knowledge that you need to be absolutely certain that you will be with Christ forever in the life to come. Paul says this to the believers at Rome. In Romans chapter 15, verse 14, he says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." Filled with all knowledge. Literally, it means filled with knowledge in its entirety. Now, you may say, how can that be? Well, here is how. If you have the Word of God in your hands and the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, you have everything you need. Now, of course, we all need preaching and teaching. Christ has given men to His church whose job it is to expound the truth of His Word, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. But no individual believer, no Christian teacher, no Christian church will find the knowledge that it needs anywhere else but in the Word of God illuminated by the Holy Spirit. The knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is complete knowledge. And finally, number 7, the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is consistent knowledge. There are no paradoxes in the Bible, no contradictions in the Bible. And that's because the nature of the Bible is the same as the nature of the God who wrote it. He's holy, He cannot lie. The Bible is as accurate and reliable and consistent as its divine author. And for that reason, you can never ever say that God told you to do something that is contrary to His Word. That would be a lie. God will never do that. He can never do that. And let me make this practical for you. You must understand how God guides the individual Christian and how God guides the church as a body. There are three principles of God's guidance that every Christian and every church must follow. Principle number 1 is this: God guides through Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's profitable for doctrine, showing us the right path, for reproof, showing us when we've gotten off the right path, for correction, getting us back on the right path, and for instruction in righteousness, keeping us on the right path. God guides through Scripture, principle number 1. Principle number 2 of God's guidance is this: God also guides through circumstances. We live in a real world where God's providence is continually in operation. He's continually ordering and directing the manifold circumstances of your life for His glory. But there's a third principle that we must always follow. Principle number 3 of God's guidance is this: God's guidance through circumstances never contradicts Scripture. I've heard people say, well, Scripture is one thing, but I live in the real world. I have to be practical. What they're really saying is this: I know what the Bible says, but because of this particular situation that I'm in, I need to ignore the Bible or bend it or twist it to suit what I think is right under the circumstances. Individuals do that, and churches do that. It's called pragmatism. It's called situation ethics, and it is absolutely wrong. Now, how does all of this relate to the fact that the knowledge that unites true believers in Christ is consistent knowledge? Well, here's the point. And it's the point both for the individual Christian and for the local church. If you see your circumstances as dictating that you need to do something that is contrary to Scripture, then you are looking at the circumstances in the wrong way. You're letting circumstances become your authority. You cannot, you must not do that ever. Scripture governs circumstances, not the other way around. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it is Scripture that is the discerner or the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Scripture must govern your comprehension of the circumstances that God sets before you. Circumstances are never an excuse to ignore Scripture. Circumstances are never an excuse to compromise the scriptural way of conducting your life as an individual or in governing the life and direction of the church. Well, the Scriptures show us many glorious things about the knowledge that is to unite genuine believers in Christ. And the wonder of it all is that these glorious things are also absolutely practical things. The knowledge that we're looking at is not head-in-the-clouds knowledge. It is absolutely practical knowledge. It is working knowledge. It is knowledge that is designed to be constantly and consistently applied in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we close this section of our study of the book of Colossians, let me ask you this. Is this the kind of knowledge that you are pursuing? Is this the kind of knowledge your church is pursuing? Is this the kind of knowledge your church is proclaiming? And even more to the point, is this the kind of knowledge that you are putting into practice, the kind of knowledge that your church is putting into practice? This is the vital thing. It is not enough merely to know the truth. The test of genuine Christian unity, and in fact the test of genuine Christianity itself, is to live the truth.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, I've been reminding you about our current free book offer, and I want to do that again today because I believe this is one of the best and most useful books that we've ever offered on the Scripture Driven Church broadcast. The title of the book is Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure, and the author is one of the greatest pastors and preachers of the 20th century, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. So many Christians need this book. Today, many Christians and churches are turning to pop psychology and even elements of New Age philosophy for the answers to life's problems, instead of turning to God's Word. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones takes us back to the Bible for the answers. And perhaps you or someone you know is having difficulty with one or more of these issues. Lack of a foundation in Christ. Lack of clarity in our thinking. Placing too much confidence in emotions. Inability to receive forgiveness for all of our sins. Inability to move beyond past failures. Fear of the future. Bondage to legalism. Failure to recognize false teachings, weariness, bitterness, lack of discipline, lack of contentment, failure to face trials in God's power, failure to respond correctly to God's chastening. Well, this book is a marvelous resource to guide you in your study of God's Word on these and many other challenges in the Christian life. Once again, the title of the book is Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The normal price of this 300-page book is $24.95, including shipping. But right now, we're offering it free and postage paid while supplies last to anyone who requests it. Here's how to receive your copy. You can call us toll-free in the United States 24 hours a day at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. Or you can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the contact link. That's the contact link at teachingtheword.org. Or you can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And our toll-free number in the United States, once again, is 888-804-9655. And our website is teachingtheword.org. And don't forget to ask for the book, Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure, by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Next week, we're going to begin remembering the Reformation on the Scripture Driven Church broadcast. And we're going to broadcast a special message from Hebrews chapter 4 called Resting in the Intercession of Christ. Scripture tells us that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.